Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This is a recording of my Thursday evening Dhamma talk on March 7th, 2019. This talk is on the 11th chapter of the Dhammapada known as the Jaravaga. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace. Tonight's talk again is on the Dhammapada, and as I said, I'm doing a series of talks, these Thursday talks on the Dhammapada, and so more than likely I'll continue with that until I finish the 26 chapters. Tonight is the 11th chapter. It's called the Jaravaga. The translations that I'm using for the foundation for these suttas are from Buddharakita, who was a Theravadan monk who passed, I believe, in the late 1920s, I'm not sure, somewhere in the 20s, and I've chosen these over some other translations simply because they are what I think are closest to the original intent of the Buddha, and they are in the context of dependent origination and Four Noble Truths, and when you compare my writing to even Buddharakita's, you'll see some slight changes to more accurately reflect that the context of dependent origination and Four Noble Truths. And this, even the title of this, this is typically called Jaravaga, the Self, as an exposition on the Buddha's meaning on a self, but it really speaks to the singular three themes of insight that the Buddha taught through his Dhamma, very specific insight into impermanence, the not-self characteristic, and the inherent suffering, dukkha, that results because of a misunderstanding of those first two. And the beginning reference of this is interesting to me, and I hope to you. In the Loka Sutta, the Buddha describes his view of the world as he awakened. And he says in the Loka Sutta, I looked out on the world, and the world was ablaze. Ablaze with what? Ablaze with the fires of passion. Fires of passion is a euphemism for the craving of continued self-identification with ordinary phenomena, and hence the connection to the three marks of existence. So the Jaravaga Dhammapada, chapter 11, begins with this. The world is always ablaze with the fires of passion, yet fools laugh with delight. You always see my dog's got to get in on the beginning of this. And so that's the Buddha's, you know, some people have called me out on using the translated word fools, but it's often used, and the reference is not that human beings are fools, but those that live in a world ignorant of what the world is about, meaning not understanding Four Noble Truths, are truly foolish, lacking wisdom of understanding, and that's the definition of a fool, and it's the most direct, and it's actually the most loving description that can be given. Because if I understand that I'm thinking and acting in foolish ways, and there's a way to develop wisdom where I was once foolish, then I might take that path. Yet fools laugh with delight. Buddha's talking to the fools. Your mind is shrouded in darkness. Will you not see? Then he describes the problem of living a life without wisdom and understanding of Four Noble Truths. The body is a painted image, a mass of injury and disease, always craving. Understand, all this is impermanent. So in other words, we embellish and adorn this thing that we've identified with, the form, one of the five clinging aggregates, when it is prone to, and this relates directly to the Satipatthana Sutta and the Buddha's application in there of using a well-concentrated mind established in the four foundations of mindfulness and apply that concentration and mindfulness to the body, and the fact that every human body is prone to sickness, aging, and death. And that's the Buddha is saying, you're so enamored and you take such delight in this body, yet look what every human body is prone to and will encounter. When spent, the body is sick and fragile. Upon death, this foul heap breaks up as death is the end of life. What another declarative statement. And Buddha's not concerned about future lives, and if you don't get it now, you can get it later. A life that is not well integrated with the Eightfold Path has no opportunity to gain understanding, which is the most important, and I would say the singularly important accomplishment of any human life. That's what the Buddha is referring to here. Only fools delight in bleached bones scattered here and there. In reference to again, back to the Four Foundations of Mindfulness and the Anapanasati Sutta, the reference to the charnel grounds, which fools have made into meditation practice, when the Buddha just teaches that to be mindful that this thing that you're so enamored with is going to die and rot away, and eventually the bones will be bleached and scattered here and there. To simply say, why be enamored with this? And by the way, impermanence is not a mystical or magical context that we have to contemplate. The Buddha is using this reference to the body as a direct teaching on this is what impermanence is about. It's nothing to marvel at or manipulate. This is impermanence. As the Buddha first described dukkha and consistently throughout his 45-year teaching career, dukkha, suffering, is birth, meaning having a human life and the consequences of that, sickness, aging, and death, not getting what is desired, getting what is undesired. And he would always conclude that statement by saying, in short, the five clinging aggregates are suffering. And so it is by attaching ourselves to that which is impermanent and thinking we can establish a self in what is impermanent that is foolish. The wisdom developed through the Eightfold Path, the wisdom of Four Noble Truths, shows us that foolishness. And so we cease clinging to form, feeling, perceptions, fabrications, and thinking rooted in ignorance. We let go of that, and we leave that behind. And the end result is freedom from ignorance. The body is a frame of bones plastered with flesh and blood, hiding decay, death, pride, and greed. There is nothing personal regarding any of the six properties that constitute a person. In the Dhatuvibhaga Sutta, there's links in the article to this, the Buddha describes a person, and this shows the lie of a lot of modern Buddhism, that there's no such thing as a self. The Buddha never taught that. He simply says the views that we're holding about a self do not accurately account for a self. They're not a self. The word anatta. Let go of those views. And then, consistently, but most specifically in the Dhatuvibhaga Sutta, the Buddha teaches the properties that make up every human being, and there's nothing personal about it. The four elements of earth, fire, wind, and liquid or water, the sixth element of space, necessary for anything to have animation in a physical world, and the sixth property of consciousness, but it's consciousness rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths, or ongoing thinking rooted in ignorance of Four Noble Truths. So there's nothing grand or cosmic about this consciousness that the Buddha is referring to. It's simply deluded and foolish thinking. And these six properties are what the Buddha is referring to. Every human being is made up of these properties, no matter what they achieve or what they don't achieve, what status they have or status they don't have. Every human being is simply these six properties, and in effect and in reality, nothing more than those. We can't embellish it or paint that body in any other way that will change what it is inherently. The Buddha continues, the finest chariots wear out, as does this body. My Dhamma is timeless, referring to the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, and the wise make it known to others. The wise make it known to others. It's really a, that's the unifying theme underlying the Buddhist teaching, not this foolish unity consciousness that we're all one grand cosmic being, or that we all interbe or interconnected or interdependent. None of those things is what the Buddha taught. But it is by first developing the Dhamma, as the Buddha will say in just another line or two, first developing the Dhamma for ourselves, and then having the wisdom to make it known to others. That is the most loving and compassionate thing that any human being can ever do. Not, well, I'll comment on it when I get to it here. The fool grows old, excuse me, the fool grows old in bulk alone, while continued ignorance obscures wisdom. And look where this follows here. We can embellish and adapt and accommodate the Buddha's Dhamma in our lives in any foolish way that we want to make me stand out and my form of Buddhism stand out, or my Dhamma. The modern Buddhism, by common agreement, has devolved to picking and choosing a little bit from this teacher and a little bit from that psychologist and a little bit from that tradition and a little bit of this ritual and that ritual, taking what you like, what continues to enhance your own wrong view of self, and calling this Buddhism, and this is my practice. And I hear this so often that not usually not people that are willing to continue to listen to me, but they'll tell me, well, I don't want to just pick what the Buddha taught. I want to pick all these different things, and I have, and it makes me feel good. Well, what it is just simply more of a distraction that continues foolishness and ignorance of Four Noble Truths by substituting what by common agreement is called Buddhism, but it's nothing that the Buddha taught. Buddhism by common agreement. The fool grows old in bulk alone, while continued ignorance obscures their wisdom. Then the Buddha gets very personal. I too wandered in vain. Remember, for 6 years the Buddha seeked out understanding, studying with all the great spiritual traditions, but recognizing none of them would lead to his goal. So rather than pick a little bit from that one and this one and that one and calling it his new now Dhamma, I should use the modern word Dharma, that refers to something that the Buddha never taught. I too wandered in vain, not knowing the builder of my house. That means my house is my individual life. This is indeed suffering. Not knowing the builder of the house, not knowing ignorance, is ongoing suffering. This is indeed suffering. Ignorance the house builder. You are now seen. The Buddha has awakened now. He's recognizing how foolish he was by believing certain things that he believed and applying them to himself and attaching himself to it. He had to go through the same undoing that we do through the Eightfold Path. Ignorance will no longer build my house. Ignorance will no longer be the motivation and the driving factor in my life, the Buddha is declaring. Ignorance, your rafters are broken, your ridgepole destroyed. My mind is free of ignorance. Craving has ended. Ignoring the heartwood of my Dhamma, there is nothing of value gained. Fools languish in ignorance like old cranes in an empty pond. I love some of these visuals that the Buddha gives. Fools languish in ignorance like old cranes in an empty pond. What the Buddha is saying is that you don't realize why you are so disturbed and frustrated and disgusted with things of human life. You're like an old crane in an empty pond. You have nothing to... After a certain point, the Buddha is saying that your mind can be so distracted and corrupted, even with the so-called Dharma practice, that all you're doing is languishing and you're suffering and you have nothing left to drink from, to enervate yourself towards awakening. It's a remarkable teaching here. Those who waste their lives clinging to ignorance gain nothing of value. And again, the Buddha is talking to a community of people who are interested in developing awakening. And what he's saying 2,600 years ago is just as relevant today, isn't it? Clinging to ignorance gains nothing of value. Clinging to dharmas that are rooted in ignorance, the fool gains nothing of value. Like worn out arrows, they can only sigh over the past. And so that's the end of the chapter. Thank you. That last is kind of can leave us a little bit flat, only sighing over the past. But remember, in context, especially in the context of the Dhammapada and the Buddha's teachings, the point of his whole teaching is to provide a clear and direct path out of this suffering that only fools suffer, and gain the wisdom of Four Noble Truths. So that's the end of tonight's talk. I'll be back next Thursday with the 12th chapter on the Dhammapada. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you for listening. I rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. I welcome your questions and comments. To contact me and for guided meditations and instructions, Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos, please visit becoming-buddha.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Peace.